Our reading today is from the book of Luke, chapter 3, verses 15 through 22. Everyone was expecting the Messiah to come soon, and they were eager to know whether John might be the Messiah. John answered their questions by saying, "I baptize with water, but someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, so much greater that I am not even worthy to be his slave. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He is ready to separate the chaff from the grain with his winnowing fork. Then he will clean up the threshing area, storing the grain in his barn, but burning the chaff with never-ending fire." John used many such warnings as he announced the good news to the people. John also publicly criticized Herod, ruler of Galilee, for marrying Herodias, his brother's wife, and for many other wrongs he had done. So Herod put John in prison, adding this sin to his many others. The baptism of Jesus. One day when the crowds were being baptized, Jesus himself was baptized. As he was praying, the heavens opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in the form of a dove. And a voice from heaven said, "You are my beloved Son, and I am fully pleased with you." Thanks be the word of the Lord.
Thank our sister in Christ, Marilyn Weeks, for sharing those words of truth that can be trusted. Thank you, my friend. Would you join with me in prayer? We thank you, Lord, for how you are at work. At this moment, you continue to work in our lives. You speak to us. You move, you sustain, you strengthen. Help us to sense those movements in our lives that are holy, to be open, and to then allow ourselves to be channels of holiness out into the world. It's in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. There was a celebration whenever I was back serving churches in Western Pennsylvania, and it was a district gathering, and we happened to have a clergy band. A band made up of clergy. Now, that's not that funny. She's already starting to laugh, thinking about me and the clergy band. Now, I was on the drum set. I'm not really a musician, I'm a drummer. So they put me back in the corner, had me beat on things. And what was happening is that our district superintendent at the time got this big bowl of water. And there was this theme of renewal. And he was a very energetic guy and just kind of went with the Spirit and went with how the Holy Spirit was leading him. And so as I'm sitting at the drum set, all of a sudden I see him coming around with handfuls of water, just throwing it on people in the gathering. I'm telling you the truth here. I'm not stretching this. And he's just throwing handfuls of water. And so I'm sitting at the drum set thinking, what's he going to do? Well, he throws a handful of water on me at the drum set. And it splatters all over the drum set. Now, not only was it all over the drum set, but some of it remained on the drum head that I was using. So every time I hit it, I was rebaptized. Water kept coming up all over me. And, you know, it just kind of hit me in the head, and he could care less. I mean, there was just this exuberance of renewal, and it was such a wonderful reminder to me of how God works as well. Does God work in our lives whenever we're not expecting Him to? Does God work in our lives when it's not on our time schedule? Does God work in our lives whenever it's inconvenient? God, you see, is not defined by us. We're defined by God. And that means, let me unpack that. God is the one who sees us as His beloved. God is the one who loves us more than we can imagine. Even when we feel unlovable, God still loves us. That's startling. Just like getting water thrown on you when you don't expect it. God surprises us. What a wonderful truth that is to have. In the scripture passage today, there are some surprising words. Now, in the church calendar, at times, the baptism of Jesus, this particular scripture passage, or maybe another rendering of it in one of the other Gospels, is used at the beginning of the season of Epiphany. Remember last Sunday I was talking about Epiphany. And Epiphany, you can kind of remember the bulb going on, the light bulb going on over your head. All of a sudden you're shining more than maybe you thought you could. There's a glow of God's love coming off of you. Remember that? Okay. Well, it's a little bit different this year. The baptism of the Lord, the scripture passage that talks about Jesus' baptism, falls on the second Sunday in Epiphany. And there's some powerful good news in that. Not only that it's falling on the second Sunday of Epiphany, but also that we get a chance to celebrate it today. It reminds us of the working of God in our lives. But it also reminds us that Jesus himself, the Son of God, God incarnate, got in line for baptism as well. There's common ground that God seeks to have with us. You know, sometimes if we think that God is way up high there someplace, an old guy with a long white beard sitting in a rocker up in the clouds, that's not God. I'm sorry to destroy your image if that's what you have. God is an ever-present force, life, hope, love in our lives right here and right now. And Jesus stepping forward for baptism, getting in line for baptism, reminds us that God seeks to enter into where we are, enter into our very lives. I think that's one of the reasons why some people feel as though they can't come to church because they're not good enough. Somehow they need to be good to come to church. That's not the point. For us, we have to come as we are. Just as we are. And be ready to offer that to God, knowing that God's not going to slap our wrist, but rather receive us and wash over us with his healing power. The church is not a museum. The church is a hospital. And all who gather, are seeking to be filled and renewed and sustained by God's presence in their lives. Makes a little bit more sense then, doesn't it? Whenever you hear about Jesus himself getting in line for baptism, you think, well, this is the Son of God. Why did he need to be baptized? Well, it's a clear reminder that God literally wants to enter into our lives, all of our lives. Again, warts and all. Are there some areas in your life that are not particularly pleasant? Are there some areas in your life that maybe you don't want God to know about? Guess what? Are you seated? Are you holding on? He already knows. And guess what? He still loves you. He really does. Yeah. In fact, the words that are shared in this scripture passage, right at the very end, are some of the most powerful in all of Scripture. And a voice came from heaven. We can sense, and I think most commentators would agree that that's the voice of God. You are my son, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased. Those are some of the most wonderful words of all of Scripture, because they inaugurate Jesus' ministry in the world. They truly offer a starting point for Jesus and for all that he was going to teach, for all the healings, for all the change, for all the challenge, for all the transformation. With that one phrase, God sets forward a whole new way of living through Jesus. And up until this very moment, we continue to be agents of change as well, if we choose to be, if we choose to be disciples, reminding others that God has something for them. God has something more for them in their lives. That God has not forgotten them. That we have the good news to be able to share with others that God actually knows their name. And this is truly amazing. God sees us as beloved. Now, maybe that's not a term that you have come to use very often whenever you're dealing with other people. But I'm going to give you a chance to practice right now. I want you to go ahead and look at somebody, look them right in the eyes and say, beloved. Beloved. Maybe you said it, you're not really sure why. Maybe your heart's not into it. That's okay. I appreciate you still giving it a good college try there. Thank you for doing that. Whenever we are able to see others as God's beloved, you see what I'm saying? That builds God's kingdom. All right? And that's part of what Jesus initially sought to do. Go out and help others to see that they are God's beloved. Okay. God first said to him, you are my beloved. And so Jesus wanted others to know that they are beloved by God as well. Boy, is it a challenge. Let me give you this wonderful tool. When someone pulls out in front of you, it's a wonderful tool, stick with me. When someone all of a sudden, just with their cart, bumps right into you and goes and gets the last box of cereal that's on sale. I'm talking about heavy-duty stuff now. Just look at them and either say verbally or in yourself, beloved. Can you do that? You think you can do that this week? Beloved. And if you want to say it out, like in your car, beloved, then they'll wonder what you're saying to them. And they'll be thinking about that. Be, beloved. Okay? What a change, what a difference that would be in all of creation, in all of the world, if not only we remembered the original beloved, our Savior, our namesake, Jesus, we call ourselves Christians. So he's our namesake. It's the one we're called to follow. But we also recognized that God sees all of his children in that way. Whether they live in that way or not, is a whole other matter. Wendell Johnson prays, Pastor Wendell Johnson prays that the church will never forget how to bend toward God for its strength. And he offers this prayer that I wanted to go ahead and share with you. O Lord, we come this morning knee bowed and body bent before thy throne of grace. O Lord, this morning, bow our hearts beneath our knees and our knees in some lonesome valley. We come this morning like empty pitchers to a fountain full. Amen. Beautiful words, isn't it? Think about the waters of baptism that flowed at Jesus' baptism. Think about the waters of baptism that John pointed others towards as well. And John was very clear. He said, I can't even untie his sandals. I can't even do the work of a servant. I'm not even worthy to do that for the one who's coming after me. But I'm going to point you towards him nonetheless. I'm going to seek the time that I have on this earth. John is thinking this and living this to serve in the name of Jesus, to point towards him. Boy, it would have been easy. Also, John had disciples, by the way. John had followers. It would have been easy for him to say, hey, it's all about me. I'm pretty exciting. I'm pretty enthusiastic. Huh? I want you to follow me. No! I want you to follow Jesus. John Leith, a Presbyterian professor and theologian, liked to say that every human life is rooted in the will and intention of God. That's pretty profound. Every human life is rooted in the will and intention of God. Quote, in baptism, the child's name is called because our faith is that God thought of this child before the child was. Think about that. That God gave to this child an identity, an individuality, a name, and a dignity that no one should dare abuse. Human existence has its origin not in the accidents of history and biology, hear this, but in the will and the intention of the Lord God, creator of heaven and earth. Your life has a touch of grace upon it. Your life has the spark of holiness at work in it. You are beloved. That, my friends, is the good news and the hope this morning. In our time of reflection, one simple question. How are you living and sharing as the beloved of God? Join with me.